In the scorching heat of Monrovia, Liberia, women dressed in white gathered on Tubman Boulevard. Their bodies ached, skin darkened by the sun, but they refused to move. These weren't seasoned activists or politicians. They were mothers, daughters, and sisters who had witnessed unspeakable horrors during 14 years of civil war. Led by a remarkable woman named Lamag Bowie, they had reached their breaking point. "We are tired of our children being killed. We are tired of being raped. Women, wake up. You have a voice in the peace process." Their simple message echoed across a nation where 250,000 people had died and one-third of the population had been displaced. The women of Liberia want peace now. What began as a small gathering would grow into a movement so powerful it would force warlords to negotiate, drive a dictator into exile, and help elect Africa's first modern female head of state. This wasn't just a triumph of hope over violence, it was a revolution in who gets to shape a nation's destiny. At 17, Lima Gwoi had boundless aspirations. Growing up in middle-class Monrovia, she dreamed of becoming a doctor and owning a mansion on Payne Avenue. Her father had risen from rural poverty to become a government technician, providing stability despite Liberia's social hierarchy where descendants of freed American slaves ranked above indigenous tribes like their kepel. New Year's Eve 1989 marked a turning point. Within 6 months of writing and burning her hopes as prayers to God, everything changed. When Charles Taylor's rebels invaded northern Liberia, few recognized the looming catastrophe. As violence approached, relatives seeking refuge filled their home until an embassy van arrived with evacuation orders. "I am too young to die," this thought consumed Lima as violence engulfed Monrovia. Death became real when soldiers shot a boy simply for wearing clothes associated with rebels. The horror peaked when government forces stormed their church refuge while nearly 1,000 refugees were massacred in the adjacent chapel. Reuniting with her father at the U.S. Embassy compound, Lima collapsed emotionally. The innocent girl she had been was gone. 3 weeks later, Lima's family reached Ghana's Buduburam refugee camp, a bleak 144-acre former prayer camp housing 50,000 Liberians. They lived in an unfinished cement house without basic amenities. At 19, Lima entered a relationship with Daniel, a Ghanaian embassy worker, which turned abusive while she raised 3 children in poverty. The turning point came through a UNICEF opportunity to train as a social worker counseling trauma victims. Working with Sierra Leonean refugees, she was humbled by their resilience. One woman who'd had her breast cut off by rebels still dreamed of returning home to teach children. When Lima questioned this desire, the woman replied, "What else should I do? Allow them to win?" A question that became foundational to Lima's worldview. After escaping Daniel and returning to Liberia with her children, Lima began working at the Trauma Healing and Reconciliation Program. She created safe spaces for women to share experiences, starting with her own stories. The shared accounts were devastating. Women who'd been gang raped, mutilated, or conceived through family rape. In a culture where mothers rarely discussed sex with daughters, this open sharing was revolutionary. Lima realized women absorbed everyone's trauma while never expressing their own pain. At a peace conference in Ghana, watching Gandhi's story alongside fellow advocates proved transformative. His words, "There may be tyrants and murderers, and for a time they may seem invincible, but in the end they always fail," convinced Lima that nonviolence could overcome Charles Taylor's brutality. There, she met Thelma Akior, who became her collaborator in launching the Women in Peacebuilding Network, WIPNET. By early 2003, with Taylor refusing peace talks while rebels advanced, 360,000 displaced Liberians suffered. After learning of fighting near Monrovia, WIPNET published a simple message: "If you want peace, come to Monrovia City Hall at 8 a.m., wear white." On April 11th, hundreds of women in white gathered demanding immediate ceasefire, peace talks, and international intervention. When Taylor failed to respond, they began a sit-down protest along his daily route. Participants wore white without makeup or jewelry, like sackcloth and ashes from the Book of Esther. The movement's revolutionary aspect was its bridging of religious divides, Christian and Muslim women uniting for the first time under the slogan, "Does the bullet know Christian from Muslim?" When peace talks stalled in Ghana while fighting intensified in Liberia, Lema took decisive action after refugee children were killed. She led 200 women to block the entrance to the negotiating hall, declaring, "We are holding these delegates hostage." When threatened with arrest, she began to strip naked, invoking a powerful traditional curse that transformed the talks from circus-like to somber. By August 18th, just days after Charles Taylor's resignation and exile, a comprehensive peace agreement was signed. The women continued their activism to ensure women's involvement in rebuilding, recognizing peace as a process. When UN peacekeepers attempted disarmament without local input, YPNet recruited volunteers to explain the process in local languages. Throughout peacebuilding, international organizations often misunderstood local dynamics, while grassroots women's groups implemented effective solutions. As Lema noted, "People who've lived through war may be desperate, but aren't stupid. They have good ideas about building peace, especially women who know their communities intimately." During the 2005 Liberian election, Lema mobilized volunteers to help women register to vote, working in marketplaces and watching stalls while women registered. Their efforts increased female voter registration from 15 to 51%, helping Ellen Johnson Sirleaf become Africa's first modern-day female head of state. Their work gained international recognition through the documentary Pray the Devil Back to Hell, which won Best Documentary at the 2008 Tribeca Film Festival. The movement received numerous honors, including the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize, shared by Lema, Sirleaf, and Yemeni activist Tawakkul Karman. Though Liberia still faces challenges with damaged infrastructure, unemployment, and poverty, peace has endured. The university has reopened, and women's status has improved through stronger anti-rape laws and increased representation in government, an opportunity ironically created by the war forcing women into the public arena. When asked if the Liberian women's achievement can be replicated, Lema notes it's already happening in places like Zimbabwe and Congo. Their story shows how ordinary people create extraordinary change by bridging divides and persisting through hopelessness. They proved nonviolent resistance can succeed even against brutal regimes. Most importantly, they demonstrated that women's leadership in peace processes is essential, not optional. As Lema said, "This is not just a Liberian story. This is a story of how women everywhere are working for peace, even when no one is watching. Their example reveals that true power comes from unity, not weapons or wealth. The women of Liberia didn't wait for permission. They simply stood in white and refused to sit down until peace arrived."